Blog Talk Radio.
I've seen strangers raising flags, seen you dressed in ashen rags, seen them all turn around. Just like you, I hold my ground, but I stand quiet, I stand still, like a rock throughout the ages. I'm just a stone from your home. I'm Jerusalem stone. And I've waited all this time for you in this land of mine. And I've waited through the ugliness and grind for you in this land of mine. Whoa, whoa.
Yes, blessed souls, let's keep the milk and honey flowing with positive actions. We're alive because we want to stay alive, blessed by the Most High in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. And now in tune to blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest we're the inner frequency of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 536, Heart to Heart from Jerusalem to the rest of the world, program presentation number 48. Blessed is our Creator, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, we'll be live in discussion with international human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock right now. It's November 22nd, and it's 5:32 Middle Eastern Holy Land time in Jerusalem, corresponding to 10:32 Eastern Standard Time from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, unifying souls actually. The call-in number is, in fact, 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And to learn more about the heroic efforts of Rabbi and his Goldstock and his wife of Avella Chanatova, please go to www.hearttoamerican.org/Jerusalem.html. And we're playing a cut from the new CD by 8 Day Inner Flame. This is called Jerusalem Stone. Figured it would be appropriate since we hopefully will bring in the good rabbi from Jerusalem in a moment or two. We'll play a song about Jerusalem, in particularly that internationally known and revered stone known as Jerusalem Stone. So let's just bring down the music from the Marcus Brothers. Thank you, gentlemen. Sorry we have to cut you so abruptly. Here we go. And on with the show, blessed souls. Now, it's a pleasure to be spending this time with you. And I want to send a big shout-out to one of our listeners who's calling right here from New York City, Dennis Ryan, our Rambam activist and promoter of the dissemination of the teachings of the Neshra Gadol, the great Igul Rambam. Eliezer, good afternoon, and greetings and salutations to the Holy Land of Jerusalem Stone and everything else that's above the stone.
Well, hello, Reb Don. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. And Eliezer, I hope you don't mind... Do you want to make a bracha on coffee first?
I'm going to start with a piece of mezainis, and then I'm going to do the coffee. And first we'll start with a beautiful pastry, a Jerusalem pastry. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam v'yirei minei mezainis.
Amen. And Rabbi Goldstock just sanctified time and space with his blessed soul, blessed souls, because he just made a blessing on a piece of cake, proclaiming to the universe for a blessing and not otherwise. Blessed are you, Lord, creator of the universe, who creates all different types of sustenance. Now we're waiting for him to make a bracha after he fully swallows that.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihiyoa Bidvarai.
Amen. And again, Rabbi Goldstock, thank you for time and space with a blessed soul within the universe for a blessing. Not otherwise that Blessed are you, Lord, creator of all the universe, that from you everything emanates from your blessed faculty of speech. Eliezer, I'm going to do a little self-polishing of my button. I don't want to be bragging, but I think we're about to enter a new stage of Blog Talk Radio with our particular presentation, the Soul Class. It was an amazing experience. About 15, 20 minutes after I left, and we didn't even talk about this, hopefully in a future program we will talk about it, my experience at the UN when I attended a conference, which was the essential presentation was how to integrate the seven Noahic commandments into the world culture in a peaceful and pleasant manner. About 15 minutes after I left the UN building, I was contacted none other than the rabbinical leader of the Beit Mazal Shul here in Crescent Crown Heights in 1433 Presidency, which I want to openly invite everyone to come every Shabbat. We start prayers at 10 o'clock in the morning. Soulful prayers, according to Jewish liturgy, in the Sephardic Jewish Moroccan North African style. And also, occasionally, we also have the blessings to have Duvi Goldstock as well, Rabbi Goldstock's grandson, praying with us. He's certainly a welcome addition. So anyway, Rav Mapur called me about 15 minutes after I left the UN and said, Don, I have an opportunity to speak at the New York City Housing Authority branch of the Council of Jewish Organizations and Civil Service. So blessed souls, I'm going to be presenting this radio program in a live presentation on Monday, December 7th, 2015, with the blessings of the Most High, from 5:30 to 7. I myself have been allotted a 20-minute period to speak, and then I'll be doing some Q&A with those who will be attending. We'll be attended by Jews and Bnei Noach, the children of the nations of the world. It's going to take place, and it's for free, 90 Church Street, NYC, New York City, the fifth floor ceremonial room. And the topic of discussion will be Jewish thought upon universal issues, which I like how they put it together, Eliezer. Any issue which is universal has to involve Jewish thought. And there will be refreshments and bring your friends. Him, Rabbi Mapur, told me that, you know, Don, how many people are going to come from, you know, your listening audience? I said, well, Rabbi Mapur, you know, we have an international audience. I don't think anyone's going to fly in from California, Jerusalem, or South Africa. But if we get one or two or three, that would help. And hopefully I'll be networking with the New York Housing Authority, and because their work is working towards the dignity of human beings, something that you are involved with, Eliezer, the past 40-plus years with your wife, Vala Khanatova. So I'm really excited about this opportunity. I've already prepared a presentation in my mind. I'm just reviewing it, and I'm looking forward for those who can attend. And hopefully, we're going to have a video capture of my speaking, and then hopefully we're going to be uploading that into Facebook and sharing it with our Soul Class fans. So, Eliezer, I'll take a rabbinical blessing for you that we have success with this venture.
Well, you should do this only with Hatzlacha, and with, of course,
amen,
with the bracha and the blessing of the Rebbe. As you know, the Rebbe was very, very in favor of us always trying to bring Torah and words of Torah and learning to the world. And it's like there used to be a commercial, I remember when I was in California, bringing good-tasting water to a thirsty world. You know, it was a water company, you know. And
yes,
I always
yes.
thought of that. Whenever they said it, I always used to substitute in my mind. Torah, of course, has always been compared to water. And so it gives us a great opportunity to say, bringing good-tasting water to a thirsty world. And you're actually working as the delivery man. I mean, oftentimes, chassidim are compared to lamplighters.
Right.
Because Torah is also compared to fire. And it used to be in the days of Europe when there used to be lampposts that were illuminated by fire rather than, you know, oil and fire rather than electricity as they are today. So
right.
who had that job was a chassid who used to go around and light the lamps at night, and it became like an example of what is a chassid, someone who goes around and lights, provides light in the darkest places, and illuminates the street and illuminates the road. and illuminates the highway. So you should go with the bracha of bringing good tasting water to a thirsty world, and you should illuminate the place in with your insights. And in 20 minutes, you should be able to bring a lifetime of knowledge and learning to those in attendance.
Amen. Thank you very much, Eliezer.
And that's my bracha to you.
I said amen. Believe me, I immediately responded amen because I want to give testimony.
Yeah, I heard that. I was just... So wait a minute. So what else is going on? You told me you had some other things that you... some other insights you wanted to share today.
I'm sure you'll be more than well prepared to embellish upon them, even though we touched on it briefly about an hour and a half before. We are now live on the radio internationally. Today is a very significant day. Rabbi Goldstein knows very well, even longer than I do. Today is the celebration of the release from prison, or arrest, I should say. I think he was under house arrest more than he was under prison arrest, by the second Lubavitch Rebbe, Rebbe Dov Ber of Lubavitch. He is actually the first Rebbe of Chabad to move into Lubavitch. His Alter Rebbe never lived in Lubavitch as much as he visited there. He lived in Lyozhna and Lyadi, in Belarus, in White Russia. And today the Mittler Rebbe went out after false accusations. It's interesting, the first two Rebbes of Chabad were accused of being traitors to the state of Russia, and actually they were very loyal citizens to the point where the Schneerson family were awarded special designation by the government of Russia in Tsarist Russia, which is extremely anti-Semitic, to be honored citizens of that country. They were so, they would, not only would they speak about what it is to be a Jew and the virtues to be a Jew, they would also speak about the virtues of kingship, which Tsarist Russia was run by a king that was known as the Tsar. So I want to give you a little insight into who this second Rebbe was, as the, I guess we can say without a doubt, the number one student of his father, the first Rebbe of Chabad. And when the Mittler Rebbe, before he was Rebbe, was known as someone who had tremendous concentration when immersing himself in learning Torah. He was then a young man, and at that point in time, while he was learning, and his father's apartment was, I think, I don't know if it was one floor upon another floor, or it was like a ranch. I'm not, maybe Eliezer can fill in those blanks, I don't remember, but the Mittler Rebbe, before he was the Rebbe, as a young man learning Torah, was learning to the level of intensity that one of his children fell out of the crib and started to cry, and he didn't hear his child's cry. But his father, who was in proximity to this incident, quickly went and picked up his grandchild and then made it known to his son that no matter how intense you are in learning your Torah, you still must be able to hear the cry of a child. So several years later, after the ascension of the Alter Rebbe to what the Rebbe, our Rebbe, used to call or cause the next level of life, and the Mittler Rebbe became the second officially designated Rebbe of Chabad, or the first Lubavitch Rebbe per se, he established, because of the decimation that had taken place in the Napoleonic Russian Wars in the early 19th century, actually designated farming colonies and actively encouraged the Jews of the cities of Russia to leave the city life, to go back into a more contemplative, not necessarily a less easier life, but a life of going back to the original means and ways that we as Jewish people used to be as shepherds and farmers, producing all different types of vegetation for self-sustenance and for selling on the market. And I'm looking at that as perhaps we can see that the Mittler Rebbe not only went to the utmost degree to follow his father's advice that one must stop learning Torah in order to hear the child's cry. He went into proactive mode, blessed souls, that his action was that there shouldn't be the cry of a child or an adult, a child of any age, because of lack of livelihood or lack of food. See, the Rebbes know how to connect dots in ways we don't. They can go exponentially in from one lesson in life and provide for us, for future generations, a lesson from the level we have to be more sensitive to the cry of a child to do things that remove the potentiality of a child of any age from crying. And I think that's also one of the mission statements subconsciously embedded in heart to heart, which Rabbi Goldstein and his wife, Chana Tova, 40-plus years have been engaged in, to be proactive, to stop the cry of the child before they even have the potential to cry, and let them feel like they are prosperous, handy, capable human beings. Eliezer, anything you'd like to embellish on that point?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was just, as you were saying this, I was just thinking, you know, the fact that the Rebbe said that even to disrupt your learning, to hear the cry of a child, means that how could a person possibly give their own child to somebody else to raise if they couldn't do that mitzvah of hearing their own child cry, stopping their learning and proceeding to comfort their own child. Very interesting, because we know that we're supposed to talk about our children every night before we go to sleep, about each one of our children for 10 or 15 minutes, each child, and to review what we did that day and what we can do the following day to help further the education of our children. So if it's that important that we have to take time out of our actual succumbing to slumber, you know, late in the evening, how much more so is it to be able to disrupt our learning? You know, we have to remember that the Rebbes didn't just sit down and learn and use a yellow marker. I mean, they were immersed deeply in what they were learning. They were one with the Torah, if you will. And that divinity that they possessed, that essence that combined with their spiritual reality and their act and their essence, their spiritual and physical reality, combined to become an essence of one with the Torah. So it's important for us to remember that, you know, anybody who has learned Torah on any level, you know, of depth, and put themselves into such a deep state, has to remember that you're almost lost in another otherworldly. And the Rebbe is coming to teach his son to hear, you know, remember that your learning is important. Yes, and we understand. I understand. He's saying, from his perspective, I understand exactly where you are. But despite that, you still have to remain attached to your physicality on some level and hear the cry of the baby. And perhaps there's an intimation or a hint in here that the crying is happening on a spiritual level as well, and that perhaps he's saying your learning is good and it's deep, but you're missing a certain level of depth if you don't hear the cry of your own child. That's one thing. The other thing, of course, is, and we've brought this out many times, is that the goshmias, the physical needs of a Jew, the physical possessions of a Jew, the goshmias, is the ruchnias of a Jew, that his spiritual needs and his spiritual dimension are his goshmias. And his goshmias is his ruchnias. There's no difference. In other words, a Jew has money. The money that a Jew has is really part of his spiritual connection, his spiritual essence. And that when you hear the cry of a child, that physicality is completely connected to the spiritual level of the person. And so therefore, to overlook it is really a detriment or a deficit in his character traits, and this is what he was obviously warning about. And more important, it's a lesson for all of us on a very simple level, which is if your child is calling out to you, you stop what you're doing and you go to your child.
That's right.
And that's an important lesson. Yeah. It has, there's no, the it's a universal, stringency, if you will. And, you know, Hashem gave us the providential ability to be involved in the world. And one of the ways that we are involved and influence the world and the laws of nature is through our children and the way that we treat them and the way they treat us. And if your children are living with you and you, you know, I'm Emir Tashem going to a bris tomorrow in Kfar Chabad for a family that is from Russia who just had a baby here in Eretz Yisrael, born with, you guessed it, Down syndrome.
Up syndrome.
And, well, Up syndrome. And that baby is bringing into the world the neshama of that child will come into the world in a complete and revealed way tomorrow, and hopefully the parents will have an easy klita, if you will, an easy absorption of this child into their family of Ken and Hora, 14 children, and you know, we should only hear good news from them.
Amen.
I've received a number of phone calls over the course of the past few weeks, people concerned about the family. I'm of the opinion that it's just a matter of these are real solid Hasidic Lubavitchers who understand Ein Oid Milvado. They understand the concept, having a very difficult time accepting openly, with, you know, open arms, welcoming this child, but they're not rejecting the child. You know what I'm saying? So they're going through a phase. They're going through it. It's a process.
Yes.
You know, nobody is able to fully accept that which is given to them, which they didn't expect, especially when you had expectations of something completely different. So it's very difficult to, but, you know, I always tell people, look, you know, you're bordering on heretical idolatrous kind of beliefs when you try to reject this child, and I can't make it any more strong, you know, the language any stronger. It requires an immense amount of sneas and modesty and humility to be able to accept a child. You know, especially in the face of when people are looking to you for answers and you're lost, you know.
Right.
It's hard to have, and I understand that. Believe me, I understand it. I was there, and I am not in the smallest way saying that it's not, that we don't have the capacity to do it, or that the reality isn't one of being a tzedekus, a perfectly righteous person. But nonetheless, we do have to come to the level of tasting the bitter water before it becomes sweet.
Right.
Sometimes it could be that the water is sweet and your taste buds are a little off, you know? And that's what
right.
I try to tell people. Water is definitely sweet. It's the same water that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been giving you for, you know, years, all the days of your life. And it suddenly doesn't taste good because your taste buds have been altered. You were expecting beer and you got wine. Or you were expecting wine and you got beer. You know, or you're expecting white
right.
wine and you got red wine. I mean, I don't know, you're expecting sweet wine and you got a dry wine. I don't know what the real mushel here is, but I do know that the expectation was not in line with the factual reality. However, nonetheless, what they wound up with was nothing short of a miracle. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, you know, look, we're in the process of preparing ourselves for the seventh millennium. And it has to be that we understand that this seventh millennium is the time scientifically, religiously, spiritually, emotionally, reality, fantasy. That's the time when we're going to finally attain the final preparations. We're going to achieve the messianic era. Now, look, I'm not here to start preaching messianism, but one of the main accomplishments of this era is the fulfillment of the promise that Hashem will be revealed, and we'll all see together that the mouth of Hashem has spoken. In other words, the divine revelation will not only be in a matter of the world will be filled, you know, Kamayim Mala Orasdeas Hashem Kamayim Yam Machasim, in a manner of the world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, but rather even all the flesh, all the people, all those, everybody, whatever your syndrome is, whatever your challenge is, they will see that even our physical flesh will see the mouth of Hashem has spoken. And that's something that, you know, we have to, we can't overlook that. It's not that, you know, we perceive godliness in a spiritual mind's eye, if you will. But we'll also see the physically, with our physical eyes, and all the flesh will see. That means not the eyes of all flesh will see, similar to the, you know, it implies that not only will our physical eyes see godliness, but even physical flesh itself will behold the mouth of Hashem has spoken. So there's a level between the physical flesh itself and our eyes seeing that exists in the world that is on a, it's a connection that that is part of our preparatory, our preparation to using worldly knowledge for the service of Hashem and His Torah. And this helps us get ready for physical, tangible seeing in matters of all service of Hashem's divinity service. So we're looking for here an eye that sees and an ear that hears. Now, you know, it's funny because that phrase seems like, that seems pretty obvious. An eye sees and an ear hears, you know. But I'm always reminded of Helen Keller once said, she once said how did she say it? She said that it's not the seeing, it's the perceiving. You know, perception, you know, you have to be able to perceive what it is you're looking at. It's not just vision, it's not just, you know, being blind isn't the challenge. It's being able to perceive and to understand. So an eye that sees and an ear that hears is not necessarily a physical eye or a physical ear. And yet, what I'm talking about here is in the time of Mashiach, the Messianic era, that's what's going to happen. The eye that didn't see at all will suddenly see. And the ear that didn't hear, it didn't, couldn't hear, will suddenly be able to hear. And one of the powers inherent in nature, which has existed, you know, for example, in full strength ever since the 6 days of creation, and yet was never known to man and has only been revealed and developed in recent times, namely the ability for the sound of a person talking in a given place to be instantaneously heard in a remote location, even on the far side of the earth or on the moon. Mm-hmm. This is possible through television, radio waves, whatever it is. And so more recently, this includes the ability to see someone from a, look, we have, what do we have, what's that called, Skype. We have Skype.
Right.
You know, we can talk to each other. I'm in Israel. You're in New York. And my cousin was visiting in Hawaii. I was able to talk with him face to face while he was in Hawaii. I can talk to you face to face in New York.
That's right.
You know what it used to take to see somebody face to face, from just going from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv? That could be a couple days journey.
Right.
You know? And so what I'm saying is, this achievement in the world, the ability to hear every sound a person makes, or see him at the very same second, at that moment, that with hardly a delay. I'm sure there's some perceptible delay. I'm not an electronics wizard here, but a slight delay, but very slight, in all corners of the world. I mean, and I saw they have communication with the Mars rover, you know, the vehicle that's roaming around on Mars.
Right.
This acts as a very tangible and real example for a concept of an eye that sees and an ear that hears. If the ear down here in the physical world can immediately hear, and similarly the eye down here through the development of yet another potential in nature can see, what's happening? What's happening on the other side of the world? How much more so can the supernal hear and eye hear and see, right? So Hashem is not bound by any limitations.
Nope.
Everyone, everything that man does, every single thing that man does, even if it's hidden in the most private and inner chambers of your life, is at the very same moment caught by an eye sees and an ear hears. And therefore,
mm-hmm.
all of your actions are recorded on a ledger. Now, I don't want to get too far afield Bible thumping, you know, but fire and brimstone. But when a person has such a tangible example for this concept, his meditation about this concept, that behold, Hashem stands over him and looks at him and searches kidneys and heart to see if he is serving him properly, this becomes something that's not merely understood in the mind's eye alone. You know?
Right.
It does not always have a full effect on a person. Rather, it becomes much closer to the person's physical senses and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And therefore has a greater effect on his emotions and even on his thoughts, speech, and actions. Now, Machshava, Dibur, and Masa, between the concept of thought, speech, and action, yes, Hashem knows all your thoughts. Yes, he hears everything you say, but what's the real deal here? What did you do today? You know, I want to give, I'm thinking about giving a tzedakah. But, you know, I know people that I've been friends with on Facebook. And I know everybody gets hit up on Facebook for a variety of different things. Everybody's our friend, and, you know, yeah, I think maybe I'll give them some money because I think they really are doing a good thing. Or maybe you don't believe we're doing anything good, and that's why you don't give anything. But if your goshmius is your roofness, if your physical possessions are truly your spiritualness, then you have to find a way to be able to give something, because that's a chelik of your, that's the hardest, it's actually one of the hardest mitzvahs, believe it or not. It is equated with all the other mitzvahs. giving tzedakah is just giving tzedakah is equal to all the other mitzvahs combined.
That's right.
And that's why it's so hard. And I'm speaking to specifically to two or three people that I know who have never been able yet to they feel like they're being taken advantage of. And I want them to understand something. No one is asking them to give. I'm not coming to them. I'm not one of these, what do you call those guys that, you know, hey, brothers and sisters, you know, this is about helping us continue our work, which we have been doing for 45, close to 50 years now, my wife and I, Hanatoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, look, you want to do something? Try it. Challenge yourself. I know people who have given, and they've had some great miracles. I know people who've given, you know, I have to say this, and this is probably the hardest, one of the hardest things to understand. But if you're giving it because you're expecting a miracle, I can't say it won't work, but it's not the spirit in which we give something. We give something because it's supposed to be done. We do mitzvahs because that's what we're supposed to do. And if somebody says that they are asking you to help them out, you know, with tzedakah, and it's somebody that you know and you've been involved with, so try it without expecting anything in return, and that's when it comes back. That's when it works. And it doesn't always have a full effect on a person, but it becomes closer to the person's physical senses and feelings, and has a greater effect on his emotions. You know, your emotional state will improve, your thoughts, your speech, and your actions will improve. It's absolutely guaranteed as long as you give the tzedakah without expecting anything in return, simply because it's the right thing to do. Now, if you can't afford to give tzedakah, you know, or you can't, then I'm not talking to you. Or if you have, you know, a problem that you have to take care of financially, this is not about you. This is only talking about people who have achieved a certain level of success in life, who want to do what is right, and to help help another Jew who, for whatever reason, is not capable of doing that for themselves. There's a, you know, Ezehu Achacham Alomek Mikol Adam. Who is wise? One who learns from every man. And the Baal Shem Tov added that one should even learn from everything that one sees or hears. So I'm passing this along to you. You know, the Alter Rebbe was redeemed on the 19th of Kislev, the Tes Kislev, which is coming up next week. And his light, it began to spread. It was a double light, actually, Shnei Or, both
right.
The mystical and the revealed parts of the Torah. And without any impediments of any kind, to the extent that it reached even simple people, like you and me. Well, like me, I don't know, you're much more sophisticated, but this expresses the central concept of Hasidic philosophy, to draw down and connect the most sublime heights of knowledge down and then unite it with the lowest depths, even to people like me who have a difficult time grasping these deep concepts because they're not simple. And they do require a lot of concentration. And when I'm concentrating, I have to always remember that while I'm concentrating and trying to understand these deep, lofty concepts that are being brought down this world, that if one of my children cries, I have to stop and go see them. Hey, did we hear from Shoshana yet?
Nope. And We're going to bring her on, even though I wanted to share something about this idea of my soul is redeemed in peace from those who made war with me, for the many who were with me. But let's bring Shoshana in. I'm sure she has some good news to share with us. So without further ado, let's bring in Eliezer, or Heart to Heart computer expert, to upgrade and improve everything connected to heart-to-heart via the wonderful world of computers. Let's bring her on. Good morning, Shoshana.
Good morning. How are you both?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem.
Hey, stranger. What's up?
Rabbi's already laughing. Manushma. Yeah, my phone. I have one comment to make on your face-to-face Skype deal. In the last 2 weeks, I have been privy to an experience where no face-to-face has been very beneficial. You know, I've got to start. I don't know where to begin. I just don't know where to begin. This is serious business, okay? Before I get into what has happened, the new website, we have the domain. And it stands for, I'm going to spell it out, but it stands for Heart to Heart Jerusalem Association for Distinguished Children. So just like hearttoheartamerican.org, this one will start out with Heart to Heart, spelled the exact same way, and then AJSDC. So that's Alpha, Juice, Sam, Dog, Cat. It's a little bit confusing, but we'll get that worked out. So I did want to say that 2 weeks ago, I was able to at least secure the domain. But in Judaism, we have this thing, and it's called a power of attorney, an agent, a proxy. We have to be very careful when we think about these things. For example, if Moshe in Australia wants to marry Chaya in Alaska, he can send Yitzchak on his stead to go up and go through the ceremony in his name, and then Chaya and Moshe are married. That works beautiful with romance. With web hosting, however, it can take a twist and a turn from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let you know that Yoni and I are now married because of the confusion. But go ahead.
I'm Mashiach now. Okay. So we got, he laughs. We're the ones going through those in Pittsburgh. So we went hearttoheartamerican.org hosted by Yahoo. It's a Yahoo site. Yeah, and I have another website, a personal one that is also, I've been dealing with Yahoo for 10 years. So I'm fairly well acquainted with how to get this job done in terms of getting it set up. But our mazel was off because we bought the domain right when Yahoo was making the switch to Abeco Small Business. So it's no longer Yahoo Small Business, it's Abeco. So I got the domain and I went to go in to do the IT stuff, and I noticed I didn't have the option to do that. So I called them, I called Yahoo, and was told I'm just a girl, I'm not the owner. And I said, well, I'm administrating and I'm going to be building the site. Nope, have to talk to the owner. We can't give you the hosting yet. Why not? Because we're in the middle of this big change. It's not like a merger, but they're going over. And we both, the rabbi and I, received several emails on this up to that time, and we knew what was going on. But I told him, Rabbi, you have to talk to them. Why? Because I'm just an IT girl. You're the owner. You have to talk to them. So I gave him the number and the phone number and the incident. No, I gave him all of the information. He called, and he got back to me, and he says, we can't do anything. They're telling me until the 15th. Now, I don't like that answer. So I decide to call them back myself, and they are telling me that give it 24 hours. So I went back to the rabbi, and I said, because I was ready to build. I was ready to start going. This was 2 weeks ago. So anyway, the rabbi says, I'm going to make somebody officially my voice in this on the telephone. Because given our time zone differences and everything else going on, the rabbi just couldn't be doing all of this all the time. So of all people in the world to pick, of all of the human beings on the face of the earth, he chooses my husband. great. So, yes, anyway, my husband did a great job. But the first time we called, and it's now over to Albaco, we get your hold time is 20 minutes, put the phone on speaker, set it down. 90 minutes later, we still didn't have a human being on the other end of the line. Hung up, tried again, got an email from the rabbi on Monday. The 15th is come and gone. What's going on? Because they did tell us we would be able to get the hosting by the 15th. And I told him, you know, we keep trying, but Yoni's got to be here. Yoni's got to be the voice for the rabbi. So finally, I forget what day it was last week, we finally get a human being on the end of the line from Albaco, not Yahoo anymore. And so I'm talking, and she looks up the account, and she looks up that I'm an administrator and everything. And I'm telling her, I said, look, this is ridiculous. You know, we've been here. We've been at this in a week. We paid for it. We're ready. We just need for you to give us the hosting. And she was not giving me the correct answer. She kept speaking in tongues, really, because I have been building this stuff for a long time with Yahoo, and what she was telling me was not making sense. So I told her, I said, look, I had to pull out the big gun. And I said, there's a board of directors on this. This is a charity. We're not messing around here. Are you the owner?
Right.
And I said, no. Would you like to speak with the proxy? Because he's sitting right here. And she said, yes. So he got on the phone, and he's talking to her about it. And she came back with the same thing. Call back in 24 hours. Okay, fine. So then we call back again, and we don't get a person. And then we call back again. Long story short, finally, I think it was last Thursday. I'm not sure. I can't remember the days anymore with this. We get another lady on the line, and we have to be doing this at the evening because in the evening because Yoni has to be here. He has to be ready to take the phone. So we get
right.
her a different person, and she said she's going through all of this stuff again with him, and he was very in charge of himself. He did very good. He was saying, look, this is a multi-million-dollar project. We have a board of directors. This is irresponsible business. When can we see results, et cetera? You know, he's really holding his own. And then here's the funny point. If there's anything funny in this, this is funny. So he asks her for an email to be sent to the rabbi's address. For this site, which I have access to. And he's over there on his side of the table, and I'm sitting over here. And and she says, did you get the email? And he just draws this blank face, and he looks at me. And he starts walking towards me. And I'm mouthing the words, what next, Rabbi? And he goes, Shoshana takes all of that, care of all of that. Here. So he gives me the phone. So I got the email, I opened it, and I said, yes, we've got it, but you're telling me the same thing. You just keep telling me about this link. What is this link? So actually that was earlier in the week. Thursday, I think it was. We get another person on the phone. And again, you know, through all of this, I'm just the girl here. That's how I'm being treated. They want to talk to the owner. And so that's like my husband for a week. So anyway, she's talking to him. She's verifying the count. She's going through all of this. I'm getting frustrated. We're sitting laptop to laptop now, side by side. And I'm listening to her because he's got her on speaker, and I'm going through this and that. And she doesn't know what she's talking about. And I would butt in every now and then and say, excuse me, but that's not how we do this. I've verified, I've done this, I've done that. I've been like all over the place. And she's like, Shoshana, I have to keep speaking with him. And I'm like, okay. Well, my laptop's racing left and right. Finally, I broke in. I had to break in. Not a hack job. It wasn't illegal. It's just that I knew how to get in. And so she's on and on and on. And I finally got to the control panel, and I said, ma'am, I'm in. And Yoni stops. And there's this pause. And she says, you're in where? I said, I'm looking at the control panel. Now tell me what to do. Oh, boy, did the tide turn then. She wanted nothing to do with him. And then it was like, Shoshana, Shoshana, Shoshana. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then she'd tell me to go here. And I'm like, no, that's not accurate, ma'am. I taught her how to navigate her company. And then finally, we got to where I see where the problem is. And she wanted nothing more with rabbis at that point in time. She just wanted to talk to me. I became very important at that point in time. So here's the problem, and we're still at it. I've got the screen up right now. In the hosting, there is a link. It's one link, and it's on how to change your plan. And what we've got now, and not just me, not just us, because she told me I was the very first customer she had to get to the control panel. And that's because I wasn't listening to her. I was just doing what I thought to do. So until they change this link, it says cancel plan. That's all it says. It should say change plan. And she said, and until they work out this glitch, we can't get hosting, and I can't build. So it's kind of like the property itself in Jerusalem. It's there. We've got it. We just haven't begun building yet. We have the address.
Well,
we just don't have the structure yet.
Let me just follow all that up with now when I call up and try to access the account, they tell me, are you Shoshana?
No, they're not going to talk to you anymore, Rabbi. I think my husband has pretty much put you, because you don't have a Western Pennsylvania accent.
That's right. And yeah, I want to tell you a funny story that goes with this, okay? This is really funny. When I was living in New York, I received you get a lot of people who call doing marketing, phone, what do they call that? Marketing.
Telemarketing.
Phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lady calls me up one day on the phone. She says, hi, and I said, who is this? And he said, well, we're calling, we're doing a radio survey about radio and television usage in your household. I said, okay, go ahead. Ask the question. She says, no, we want to speak to, a girl between 18 and 25 in the house. I said, that's me. So she said, she starts laughing, and she says, okay. And she starts asking me questions, what my radio and television preferences are now. I don't know what's on television. I have no idea. I said, wrestling, boxing, football. I don't know what's on. I don't know when. And then she says, what radio do you like to listen to? So I said, I like to listen to Fox News. I like to, I just told her basically what I like to listen to. She says, okay. And, when's your birthday? And I told her, I made up a birth date and a year that corresponded with making me 20 years old. You're a female. You reside at this address and so forth and so on. I said, yeah. And that was it. Hung up the phone. Now, in my house, first of all, they now have me recorded as watching certain television programs and listening to certain radio stations. I didn't have a radio in the house at the time, because the only time you listen to radio is in the car. And the only place, and there was no television in the house, so obviously the whole thing the whole thing made no sense, right? So here we have the same situation where it all makes sense, but I still have no access.
You have no access.
And it counts out of my hands. Okay, that's it, So, but, what a stupid system. What an absolutely abhorrent, stupid system. And they still won't, they can't figure out what to do. And all of those websites are just sitting out there in cyberspace, dormant right now. I mean, you can access them.
They are. Yes.
And you can use them, but you can't change them.
You can't change them, but you can, if you already have one up and running with the merchant solution, you can, like hearttoheartamerican.org, we could change today if we wanted to, but it's in acquiring the new domain. But I do have to tell you, Rabbi, that this you gave me a great gift. Talk about tzedakah. I never before thought, in the 13 years of my marriage to Yochanan, I never thought I would hear him say, truthfully and seriously, discuss his $25 million project and a board of directors. That was cool. Yes, that I needed. I should have videotaped that just for posterity.
You absolutely should have. Oh, he probably didn't realize what he was saying until after it came out of his mouth. First of all, your husband is the kind of guy, you have to get him angry to do something like that.
He was frustrated, and he stutters, so, and he's nervous about certain things, especially being on the radio, but he didn't at all. I mean, he was board of director bound on that conversation. I kind of sat back and looked up at the sky and said, all right, who's soul shifting?
Gotta love him.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he really went to bat for this, and he
yeah.
was.
No, I.
But the thing is, Rabbi, he did so well. He did. He delivered a strong performance. It was Oscar Award winning or whatever they Emmy Oscar
I said,
whatever. Until she said,
I said after
"Did
that,
you get the email?
After that,
did you get my email?" And then he went blank. Shoshana takes care of that.
May I interject for one moment? You know, a lion. When you guys can stop laughing, I can say something quite profound
okay,
and so simple. By concerning Yoni, you know, a lion doesn't have to speak much, but once he gives a roar, he sets the pace for the next step of the relationship.
He did. He got the email out of her. They wouldn't send us any correspondence whatsoever, and we had him send it to the rabbi's account for this website, and he got the first ball rolling. He did. I didn't. He did.
Well, I just want to say, in Nagea, to what we were talking about before you came on, Hashem is aware of all of that. We are all lowly souls, and He only demands in accordance with our capabilities. I mean, we, you know, people hear that all the time. Oh, God only asks what you know what you're capable of, but that's why He challenges us with only small tests. The only test today is don't be embarrassed by people who are scoffing and laughing at you. And Yoni is obviously a master at this. Why should you care what a fool mocks you, when a fool mocks you? On the contrary, if he's laughing at you, you must be right. After all, an idiot makes fun of normal people, not of other idiots. You know, that's really the bottom line, right? So with this approach, you will be successful, and you have successfully
Amen.
Accomplished your goals. And nothing breeds success like success. We've heard this. How many times have you heard that one, right?
Right.
So, look, all I can say is your success itself will spur you to further and further to go. Your fear that your friends, you know, and these people don't understand you and they're going to outcast you, and it's all baseless.
Right.
On the contrary, it's only when we do not compromise at all and follow the path of complete truth that others have respect for us. That's the only time. When we are willing to stand up and do what's right. And look, some claim that there's just a total involvement that such a total involvement in doing something, doing a mitzvah,
mm-hmm.
is tantamount to, you know, to shackling ourselves to the realm mm-hmm. of Torah and mitzvahs, you know? Oh my gosh, that, what a
yes.
horrible thing, right?
We are
making it impossible to fully live. Look, your potential is and to fully realize and utilize our God-given abilities. And you have done that, and your tenacity and your ability to stand up to these people. God bless you, and God bless Yoni.
Amen.
I'll tell you something. You two.
No, it
you two,
just
well,
reminds
this,
me of the
well,
message you sent me after that. Tenacious Most. That was cute.
Well, I want to tell you something. You know, I'm just saying, you know, on one hand, we're all laughing at this thing because we can. Because, look, you know.
Our hands are tied. We have to wait on them now. So what's the point in being
aggravated?
Yeah,
we're dealing with idiocy. We're dealing with with ignorance, you know.
Well, may I say
look,
something else in defense of my husband?
Sure, you can say whatever you
it's
want.
Not
it's
in defense
free,
of my husband,
it's
actually.
It's a free country
it is,
where you are, not where we are.
Yeah, where we are. Well, that's another show. But it's not in defense of him. It's actually complimentary to him. And, Don, you might really appreciate this as well with what you did at the
mm-hmm.
United Nations and what have you. We had the great merit of having an amazing Torah scholar in our home Tuesday morning. We had a meeting with him, Dr. Michael Schulman. He's the editor of the Divine Code. And he brought with him, he called, we had to have a meeting on some other things, and Yoni took off work that morning to be here for it. And he called and he said, he asked Yoni if it would be okay if he brought a lady with him that worked with him. fine, no problem. And I was nervous. This is happening in our home. We had planned on going to his office, but he reversed it the night before. He called at 9 o'clock and he said, "Do you mind if we meet in your place instead?" No, of course not. Come on over. So anyway, so we're expecting him with a business lady. She, I'm thinking, was about 19 years old. She did not speak a word. They were here for over an hour. She had some sort of special needs. It looked like, I didn't question it. I didn't want to pull that out and embarrass her. It looked similar to Down syndrome, but it was not. I'm not sure what it was. And so we're in a secured building, so we only met him at the front door, brought them in up to the apartment, et cetera. She sat next to me. Dr. Schulman sat next to Yoni, and he gave her a little notebook, a little one, you know, like the flip-over ones, like the four-by-six one. And he asked her to take notes for him. And we all know he didn't need for her to take notes for him. He was giving to her self-esteem and everything. And like I said, she did not speak a word while she was here, but I looked over from time to time because we were all sitting around our dining room table, and her handwriting was beautiful, by the way. And she was very focused on what she was doing. He did not give her direction. He did not give her correction. She just sat next to him while the three of us had a discussion. And we got to a point where we needed to discuss diplomacy. And Yoni was not nervous at all. I was the nervous one. And anyway, I looked at Yoni and I said, "Now for diplomacy." And I looked at Dr. Schulman, and he just started chuckling. This is a very distinguished older man. Talk about a Torah scholar. I mean, we got into Mishnah, we got into Talmud, we got into all kinds of stuff while he was here. And so something came up, and Yoni looked at him. Now, Yoni's in his work uniform, too, by the way. I mean, he tucks in the Talich HaTad and everything when he goes to work, but not yet because he hadn't left the home. And so he's in business casual, and he looks over at Dr. Schulman, and he kind of taps his hand, and he goes, discussing a certain thing, he goes, "You know the way I see it?" And I don't know that Dr. Schulman know how to take that, really, but he just kind of like, you know, sat, just swayed in his chair like he did the whole time, and he's, "No, Yoni, how do I take that?" He goes, "We keep our friends closer, but we keep our enemies closer." And I'm thinking to myself, oh, for goodness sake, for crying out loud, did he just say that? And I, like, bowed my head and put my hand over my eyes, and all of a sudden, Dr. Schulman just started laughing so hard. He just really started laughing, and he looked at me, and I knew my face was red because I could feel it. And he just he raised his hand, and, you know, he's doing this, and him in his black suit and everything and white shirt, just lovely man with a really cool beard. And he said, "Shoshana, just, your husband's right. Your husband's right." In our home, of all places, this incredible scholar, you know, sitting there doing that. So, yeah, Yoni is a very call-it-as-you-see-it kind of person.
You know, every concept is better understood through practical examples.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that this guy shows up at your door with a young lady who obviously was benefiting more from being there and being part of what was going on. Your husband was obviously contributing in a very significant way, even though you didn't see the whole picture
the way he did.
But, you know,
I try to, you know,
the lesson from all of this is, look, if you want to affect others, the way to do it is by staying focused in one direction only, right? And it's only this way that one can maintain full strength. And that one direction is, you come from a Torah perspective. Yeah, Yoni's bringing with him his life experience.
Yes.
But that's part of his Torah experience as well. And
it's important that we all remember and understand that. So the bottom line is, by next week...
serious there, Rob. You make this impossible. Am I going to put stickers on the website?
Yeah, there'll be those little web
they call those little pesos? Pesos? What do they call them?
I don't even. I haven't even downloaded any of that. I don't do it. So you're going to make me laugh, and that's going to be a good thing.
Look, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in spite of the people that we're working with. And even though we are totally ready and prepared, do you imagine? You know, look, every
maybe it's just not time.
Look, it was, no, yeah, that's for sure. But the point is that, you know, everything happens when it's supposed to and the way it's supposed to. And just because you and I think that it's supposed to have happened last week and it should have been a simple, smooth trail, who knows?
Who knows what big thing is going to happen by the time we do get it up and running that would have been lost in mail, so to speak, that we might even be able to open it with. I keep kind of reminding myself, I was born on the first day of Hanukkah. So, I have that kind of personality where I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Well, that's right around the corner. You know, it's today the 22nd, like within 2 weeks. Who knows? Maybe this thing will be up and running with the with that, you know?
Dawn.
Yes.
Dawn.
Yes,
there?
I'm listening.
I finally found out what we got for Hanukkah.
Ma. What?
What did we get for Hanukkah?
Say that again, please.
Who was born on the first day of Hanukkah?
Who was born? That would be the 25th of Kislev.
Yeah. Who was born on the first day of Hanukkah?
Chaim Hanukkah?
No. Shoshana.
I know. I was listening. I didn't catch which day of Hanukkah.
The first day of Hanukkah. So I finally figured out what we got for Hanukkah. What was our gift? What was the gift to the world on Hanukkah? Shoshana, there you go.
Well,
hey, that is a seven, you know.
Huh?
That is a seven.
Yeah.
Well,
is that you couldn't finish your job until we knew that.
Ruth from Jews of Judaism tells me that all the time whenever she wants me to blog. She goes, I'm going to the Hanukkah baby.
I would humbly say this. Yoni, don't start up with Shoshana on the first day of Hanukkah. She might take it for the next 8 days. She might take it to task for the next 8 days.
No. I've got my Gevurah in check.
No.
All right.
My wife was born on Lamed Kislev.
Oh, that's also another Hanukkah child.
Always comes out on the, huh?
That's another Hanukkah child.
And it happens to be, it's Rosh Chodesh.
Oh.
It doesn't happen every year.
Mm-hmm.
It only happens every third year or so. And this year it happens to be that it's Shabbos, Hanukkah, and Rosh Chodesh. The longest benching of all the benching. When you have to say the grace after the meals, it's the longest one. You have to say for Rosh Chodesh, you have to say for Hanukkah, and you have to say for Shabbat. So there you go.
That's interesting you bring that up, Rabbi, though, because you were talking about redemption and the Messianic era and all of that. And so I always look at the 3-in-1 in a sort of unique way of chaos, the age of chaos, the age of Torah, the age of redemption. So whenever 3 happens on the same day, I always kind of feel like the complete circle has been made.
Right. That's why they call it that when 3 bench together, when 3 men say bench together, that's a mezuzah. You know, that's a form of completion.
It's very interesting when you can look at it from that way. Yeah.
Anyhow, listen, Elliot, I have to Zoom. I can't stay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We kind of spilled over. We spilled over, but we spilled over, and we weren't messy.
Right. There's a difference between spilling over and overflowing.
Yeah, that's true.
We are overflowing with brachas today. And with fun, and I laughter. We're able to laugh at a very serious thing, you know?
Yes, it is serious, though. It is serious.
A $25 million project that's being held up by some who knows what, and our CEO is now ready to go. In fact, he's leaving for England on Wednesday for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, I'm hoping next week to have him on Sunday. If not that next Sunday, it'll be the week after. But, we should have a very, very fun and exciting conversation with him. He comes from the business world, and he's taking time out of his life to learn Torah, and I've had an opportunity to learn a little bit of Kabbalah with him, and a very, very fascinating and interesting man. Anyhow, I have to go.
Before you go, really quick, may I say something?
Sure.
I guess it was 2 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when Yoni and I were on the show, and Don brought up having a guest, a good friend of mine who is a foster mom. She's adopted. She's got three kids. She's adopted six. She's actually had a hand in raising 86 children total. She's my age. Many of these with special needs. Her one 13-year-old she adopted has Asperger's, and she's just a plethora of beauty and wealth of information in this field. So I thought she might be able to come on with me one time.
I hope
she
so.
She definitely has an open invitation on my part.
Okay. All right. So we'll schedule
that.
My side
as well.
Yeah,
right. I'd love to meet her.
Oh, she's her
Unless
name
I
is Michelle. I've discussed this with her. Her name is
Michelle,
and she's been in and out of court for Michelle is her name, yes. And she's been in and out of court for these kids. I mean, I'm 48, she's 49, so we're not talking about somebody who's 90
does
and had
know,
a lot of time.
Does she know me or my wife?
No, she's not a Jew. She's a Noachide right now. But that's another
okay.
interesting thing.
I know a Michelle who's. Very active, but she's an upstate.
Yeah, girl. She is just, it's been her life. It is her passion. And, I mean, 86 children, and she's 49 years old. She's had a hand in raising. And she personally has 9 kids. 3 hers that she gave birth to, 6 she adopted, and they're not all the same race either. Her 2 13-year-olds,
wow.
One is, is African-American,
wow.
I guess we should say politely, and the other one is not. She's taken in crack babies. She's taken in all kinds of stuff. I mean, she's just a really amazing soul,
wow.
And I asked her after that last show if she would be interested, and she had to think about it, and then she said yes, she would. She would like to talk about it.
As I've mentioned many times, so Sean and Eliezer knows that, you know, this is not just an infomercial for Heart to Heart. It's a tutorial for all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring on a faithful daughter of Noah, which is a title to remind the nations of the world, they also come from good stock. The good,
right.
From the tzaddik Noah, who is our common ancestor, as well as being connected to our most common of ancestors, Adam and Eve. So that sounds like would be a very vibrant discussion,
okay.
And will allow her to express herself as she likes. Eliezer, would you like to wind up today's efforts by telling people how can they continue to strengthen their support for Heart to Heart?
Yes, I would. If you would like to help us out and reach out to us during this Hanukkah season, which has actually begun in terms of our efforts to reach out to all of those who are all of the hundreds and thousands of children and adults around the world to which we are very involved with, that you can reach us through our website. Only the one website, which is up and running.
Yeah.
It's called hearttoheartamerican.org. And you can go to that and find the page, it's the donation page. You can also reach us by mailing a check, money order, cash, to Heart, 383 Kingston Avenue, Suite 232, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. Or you can mail it to Ben Zakai, 18-1. Jerusalem. That's Heart to Heart. Ben Zakai Street, 18-1, Jerusalem 93186. And if you'd like to call me directly and speak with me on the phone, you can reach me at 052-86-99972, or you can call Don Zuccia at
347-613-4615.
And leave Shoshana and Yoni alone.
No, we like company. Shavuot Tov, everyone.
And remember, guys, if Yoni starts to talk, it might sound like a roar. He'll set the pace for the conversation. I'd like to thank Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, live from Jerusalem, and Shoshana Imhoff Moss for using one of your most valuable resources, your precious time that the Creator is giving to you. And with that being said, we're going to end off with today's effort, as we usually do with the Ask for Ben.
Whoa, your after blessing. Yes, the rabbi has to make his after blessing.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
The Al Hakaka, the Al Tanuma Hatsada, the Al Sundate, the Al Hakaka. The Sharatika, the Al Hakaka, the Al Sina, the Al Kholzi, the Kriya, the Isbaya, the Tuba, the Femna, and the Al Hini. All Yisrael, the Mechel, the Al Yishayim, the Al Hakaka, the Al Yitzayim, the Mishkan, the Al Yitzayim, the Al Mizbechecha, the Al Hakaka, the Al Hakaka, the Al Yerushalayim, the Al Kaidish, the Hera, the Al Hina, the Al Hina, the Saicha, the Samchain of all the Rechav of Dusha of the Tahara, the Atta Night of the Meiti, the Akko Benoida, the Chol Al Ha'oretz Vi Al Ha'michia, Baruch Atta Adonai, Al Ha'oretz Vi Al Ha'michia.
Amen.
Amen.
Atta Adonai, Lehenim Al Ha'ilam, Barein, Af Ha'ashayis, Rabbeis, V'chassanan, Al Kol Ma'ash, Rasa, Achayis, Behem, Nefesh, Kol Chai, Baruch Hei Ha'ilamim.
Amen. And I'm going to give a first presentation. A church presentation of the after blessings that Rabbi Goldstein just made. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, for the sustenance and the nourishment, for the produce of the field, and for the precious good and spacious land which you have graciously given as a heritage to our ancestors, to eat of its fruit and to be satiated with its goodness. Have mercy, Lord our God, on Israel, your people, on Jerusalem, your city, on Zion, the abode of your glory, on your altar, on your temple. Rebuild Jerusalem, the holy city, speedily in our days, and bring us up to it, and make us rejoice in it. And we'll bless you in holiness and purity, for you, Lord, are good and do good to all. And we offer thanks to you for the land and for the sustenance. Blessed are you, Lord, for the land and the sustenance. Also, blessed are you, Lord, our King, King of the universe, Creator of numerous living beings and their needs, for all the things you have created with which to sustain the soul of every living being. Blessed is he who is the life of the world. I just want to remind everyone that as we end today's program, that we've all got to do good. Why should that be? Even though it might trigger some ambivalence and anxiety, but a teva tov lehetiv. It is the nature of the good to do good. And the Creator, who is the source of all good, did this great goodness in bringing you into the world, and you into the world, and you into the world, whether you be in South Carolina or Florida, Australia, South America, here in Kesser Crown Heights, out in Pittsburgh, PA, out in Jerusalem, the land of the holy stones, the gold stones, and the gold sacks. And we can only get through this situation to give over our ambivalence and our anxiety by realizing we have a little help from Hashem, which is really a lot. And the Diaspora Yeshiva Ben will tell us in the next 2 minutes and 16 seconds. In the meantime, may this all transpire in a way of a Havachad, one love, Gurlachad, one destiny, Kolana for all of us, but Darchi Nom, Darchi Shom, in a pleasant, peace way, Laham Shik, Mezrachem, Yisraich, be continued with the help of the Most High. As I lose my voice, blessed souls, as we've come to the end of another program, take care.
We're going to play you a little tune. This isn't going on the tape, but we're going to do it anyway. I've heard this tune maybe a couple times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Bend your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key, because I get by with a little help from Hashem. I get high with a little help from Hashem, of course. Gonna try with a little help from Hashem. So would you believe in a love at first sight?
We're trying to make matches like that around here all the time.
What do you see when you turn out the lights?
Well, I heard she's from a very nice family.
I get by with a little help from Hashem. I
with a little help from my sham. I'm gonna try with a little help from my sham.
Oh, we need you.
Do you need anybody?
I said I
want somebody to love.
How about that sham?
Could it be anybody? I said someone so high up above. I get high with a little help from my sham. Get high with a little help from my
chef.
I'm gonna try with a little help.
All right, everybody on the chorus.
Do you need anybody? I want somebody to love. Could it be anybody?
I said someone
so high up above.
Let's go.
I get high with a little help from my chef. I get high with a little help from my chef. I'm gonna try with a little help from my sham.
A little help from my sham. Okay. 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 Thank you very much.